new expressions of faithfulness and service, the blessings shared through compassionate and caring community, the gift of wonder and joy, and the fulfillment that has been and will be born again and again as God is glorified by who we are and what we do.
Thanks be to God. As we look upon these candles, we are reminded of the story that makes us who we are. And we are thankful for all of the ways that your story is woven into all of these stories. For we know that as this flame is burning in this place, we also carry this flame into the future. And you all are a part of carrying that forward. And your stories will help to extend this story into both our present and our future ministry. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Gracious God, for all that has been, for all that is now, and for all that will be, by your grace and mercy and love, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we give you thanks. Amen. This morning I'm going to read the scripture reading, but I'm going to ask you to do something with me a little bit just to try this out. So in the scripture reading is a very familiar one to you all. It comes from 1 Corinthians 13. It's a passage that is very familiar to us, and as we hear it, there are immediately images that will come to our minds. And so I want to ask you to allow those images to come and tell me what you think of when you hear this passage. Actually, don't put the passage up just yet, okay? Let me read it first, and then I want for all of you to listen to this scripture passage and tell me what the image is that comes to your mind, okay? This is from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. Where do you hear that scripture passage the most? Most often at weddings, right? So immediately as you're hearing this passage, you're thinking tuxedos and dresses and flowers and runners and pastors, and, you know, I've been to wedding celebrations before, I'm sure many times, and you all have probably heard this passage. And this passage is intended to talk about the power of love and the ways in which that love brings a couple together and unites them and enables them to dream great dreams for their hopeful future. But the passage itself was not read that way the first time it was read to the people of Corinth, because the passage itself is written to a community in great conflict. It's written to a community that is struggling to understand who they are in Christ Jesus. They're fighting amongst themselves about whose spiritual gift is greater. They're struggling for power in their community. They are struggling to understand how they are to give themselves. There was a lack of generosity in their community, an unwillingness to give their gifts, both of their own selves and their own time, but also of their own resources. That in many ways, that this letter is written to a community that is fractured and hurting and needing something to show it how to be together in community and how to see both the present and the future. Okay? Now think about that as I read the whole passage. Think about what context this passage was originally heard, and it'll read differently to you. Okay? So I'm going to read the whole passage. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all of my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I might boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Did you hear it differently at that time? When you think about it in the context of how it was originally read and written, it helps us to think about a different understanding of this love. It is the power of love that brings a couple together, that is a part of their marriage ceremony and the joy of their life when they gather together in holy matrimony. But it is, in this context, a way for us to think about the kind of love that builds community, that allows communities to be built on something that will last, something that will hold them firm through anything that they would experience, whether it is conflict or trials or suffering or struggle, that love is built them to last. And so they might experience great joy in their community. They experience that love and know that that is the gift that comes to them from Christ Jesus. And it is that love that enables them to envision and dream a future that they might not be able to see in that present moment. And so as they put themselves in the hands of Paul in this moment, what they do is hear Paul tell them, if your community is built on love, that community is built to last. And it will continue to be an edifice for the kingdom of God on earth. As we are celebrating 112 years of ministry this day, I'm mindful that the passage is very much near to my heart as we think about how we have come to this place. Because in reality, we know that over 112 years, that there has been much that has happened in this congregation's life. But what I want to suggest to you all today is that we stand here today after 112 years because of that same love. The love that builds this community to last and to give God glory. Because we know in our church's history, if you've ever read about or know about our church's history, many of you have experienced this history here in this place. We have experienced great mountaintop experiences, great joys, but we've also experienced great hardships and struggles and suffering. If you think about the way that the church has endured through these years, there have been many highs that we have celebrated, but there have also been many struggles. And many moments when our church wondered whether they would be able to go on. And so what I want to suggest to you all today is that the kind of love that Paul is talking about in this passage is very much the love that is built to last in this congregation. And that the story that we shared as we read this litany is a part of and a reflection of that love. Not just love that is warm-hearted to one another, but the kind of love that displays itself in generosity. The kind of love that displays itself as sacrifice. The kind of love that displays itself as joy, as a hope, as meaningness, fullness. We know that our story has all of these things in them. And as we celebrate that this day, what we know as well is if it has been that love that has brought us to this place, it will be that love that will extend this church's history into the future. That our legacy born of that love will be the very thing that undergirds us now in the present moment, but it will also be the thing that will enable us to look to the future with great hope. And what we recognize is that if we are built on that love, we are built to last. We are built to establish God's kingdom. We are here to be a glorifying edifice to God for a congregation that can lift up its praises in so many powerful ways. And as we were telling the stories during the litany, and as we look at pictures, we are mindful that within those pictures and inside that story is so much. There is so much history in those stories, but there is within those stories a great deal of this kind of love. The love that displayed itself in generosity and sacrifice, in willingness to give of themselves, and a willingness to envision a future. That as we sit here in this place, we know that there have been many lives and many generations who have given that love to make this moment possible. And the question is, as a community, will we continue to be built on that love? And will we look to the future with that same kind of hope? Go ahead, and I'm sorry, put up the slide that that I had. One of the things that I saw in the church's history that was so very powerful, next slide. It's a little bit hard to read, but if you go to the next slide. In this church's history, there's a story that is a very important part of our own story. And that is that in 1941 and 42, when Japanese Americans were going to be interned in concentration camps, there was conversation that took place within the church through Reverend Thomas Machida. And in that conversation, they began to talk about what would happen in what they called the new settlement. They didn't know where they were going to go. It was unclear what would happen to them. They just knew that the government was rounding Japanese Americans together and going to put them in camps. And what the congregation did was took a vote and decided that they wanted to be interned together. 503 people said that they wanted to stay together as a church at a time when the government was trying to break our community apart. Do you know how powerful that is for people to make that kind of statement? And so this is the handwriting of Reverend Thomas Machida. And it says, list of members who desire to relocate in the new settlement with our church group, March 20th, 1942. And so go to the next one. The next slide is the first page of the document in which all of the families are listed. What a powerful expression of that love that we are describing. At a time when our community is breaking it apart, at a time when they were anxious and fearful and stressed because they did not know what was going to happen, they said, we want to stay together as a church. Now, I'm guessing that I didn't hear much that in the history, it doesn't describe what happened after that, and so I'm guessing that the government denied their request. But what kind of statement that is about our history? That story is a part of our DNA. It's a part of who we are as people. And when we think about and acknowledge how powerful it is at a time when the government is trying to split apart the community, the church says, we want to stay together. What a powerful expression of that love that I am describing is expressed in that movement. And so what I want to suggest to all of us today is if we're built on that love, we are built to last. And what we are experiencing as the gift of this present day will move us into the future with great hope. Great hope. I like to look at these old pictures, and I was able to snap a little photo of this picture, and it says Methodist Youth Fellowship, or Methodist Youth Gathering Rally. And in this picture, it's from 1950. And I started to just look at the picture, and it just amazed me. Stop right there. It just amazed me as I started to look at this picture. Do you see who's right in the middle of that picture? Who is that? It's Kenji. It's Kenji Onishi. Okay, and then... And I laughed because who is Kenji standing behind? He's standing behind the pastors. So right in front of him is Reverend Francis Hayashi. Just to the right of Reverend Hayashi is Reverend Paul Hagia. And if you look at this picture, it's just an amazing thing. And as I was scanning over the picture, I was just filled with so many stories.